Scriptures today that I'm going to try to focus on with us is from 2 Timothy, and I just want to reread that little part of it, because we read a lot of scripture this morning, and I want this part to be foremost in our minds as we approach this. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. And then skipping ahead, for the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. We don't have to think very long and hard to remember some of the more famous false teachers out there. Right? How about Jim Jones? You probably remember that event, right? We get the joke about don't drink the Kool-Aid, you know, which is really a terrible joke when you understand what's behind it. With the hundreds of men, women, and children that died when they did drink the Kool-Aid. What about David Koresh, right? He claimed to be Jesus Christ, claimed to be second or third or fourth coming of Christ. And he took 56 adults and several children to a fiery grave with him in their compound in Waco. Those are just some of the more obvious, prevalent ones, but there are a lot of false teachings out there. There are a lot of false teachers. I just ran across one for the first time that I had never heard of before just a few weeks ago. Left the church and started following this one person's teaching that talked about how we were calling Jesus by the wrong name, and that if we don't call him Yahusha, you're going to hell. And she said she was praying for all of us. And yeah, and so it's just a challenging thing. And it's easy to be led off if a few things are not in line in our lives. If there's a few things that we aren't doing and a few things that we don't have in check, it can be tempting to listen to other doctrines and things like that because they sound good. They sound easy, they sound nice, but the end is destruction and the end is not life. And so I thought it would be good to take a look at that a little bit today and see what scriptures have to say about that. So, this little part of 2 Timothy that we have today was written when Paul was in prison for the second time. He was in Rome. And this was just before his death, somewhere around, well, he died in AD 67, and so some people think he wrote this right before his death, some people think it was a couple years before, but the point is that Paul was in jail for the second time, and he knew it didn't look good. Okay, Nero had been descending into madness, right, the Roman emperor, and there was a fire, you're probably familiar with the history, and he was blaming the Christians on the fire, and Christians were the convenient target for him, and Paul was one of these that was caught up in that persecution, and very soon after finishing 2 Timothy, he was beheaded. Okay, so he's writing from prison. He's trying to encourage Timothy and anyone else who's reading this to press on in the face of persecution and discouragement. And this is a very personal and exposed letter. It has very deep expressions of Paul's faith and love and concern for those that he knows he's going to be leaving behind soon. And these were his final words and last instructions to his dear friend and mentee and partner in ministry, Timothy. And so when you think about someone's last words, if you've ever experienced hearing someone's last words on their deathbed, or if someone in your family was heading towards dying and then they had something left to say, I mean, we cherish those words. We hang on to them. We pay attention to them because we know that this is something super important that this person is trying to say, because, you know, they're not messing around anymore. They know that they only have a limited time left, and what they have to say is very key. And so Paul had seen friends and partners in ministry shrink back from him. He even felt abandoned sometimes. He had seen some Christians fall into sin and fall away. He saw some friends lured away by false teachers and false doctrines. And he was living in a time where there was pressure from the culture. There was pressure from the government. There was pressure from society to compromise and to back down and to hedge, to betray the faith in order that they might survive. Or better yet, enjoy what they wanted. And I want to ask, is it so different for us today? Are there any vestiges, any similarities that we can see between what was happening when Paul was in prison and exhorting Timothy to watch out for false teachers and false doctrines, and what we have today? I think that you just can follow the 24-hour news cycle, and somewhere you'll find something in there where there's hostility towards Christians. It happens around the world, happens in our country one way or another. There's attacks on Christianity through policy and politics sometimes. We're surrounded by temptation to let go of parts of Scripture that challenge us or make us uncomfortable or want us to change. But we have this exhortation in Scripture to watch out for that and to be sober and be prepared. There's other warnings in Scripture for us as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." So this is 1 Timothy. Paul wrote that a few years before 2 Timothy. And he was warning about this kind of thing even then. In 2 Peter, another example, chapter 2, "There were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who brought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality, and because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered." It's laid out pretty clearly there to pay attention and to try to watch out for these things. And so we say, well, I'm not going to be fooled by that. It's not going to be me. How do you know? So a lot of people get fooled. And I think there's a few things that we can kind of pay attention to. I think that sometimes people follow style rather than substance. So they get caught up in someone's personality or the way that they present themselves. Or maybe they're saying things that make people feel good rather than challenge them. And they do things in a certain way that's very winsome and very attractive. But when you expose it and look at it from a scriptural point of view, perhaps it lacks substance and depth. So that's one way that we can check and make sure that what we're following is not a false teacher or a false leader or false doctrines. Something else that is an earmark of this is people follow sometimes what appeals to their desires, right? If we can get God to give a rubber stamp on something in our lives that we really want to keep doing, even though maybe Scripture someplace tells us we shouldn't, but we can get rid of that part of Scripture or twist some other part of Scripture to support what we want, then it's pretty easy to be tempted into wanting to follow something that supports our own desires. I mean, nobody really likes change when it really comes down to it. Change is challenging. Change is tough. It requires us to stop what we're doing, stop what we're comfortable with, and do something different. And it's a lot easier to keep on doing the same thing, especially if we like the way our life is and we like what we're doing. Another way that people are tempted into this is following what appears to be an easier path, even when it runs contrary to the Scripture. And we might be tempted to say, well, that was written a long time ago. There's been a lot of copies made. Maybe something was lost in the translation, and I don't really like this part, so I'm not going to have it applied to my life. That's really tempting. But then how do you decide what parts to keep and what parts to throw away? And then if you want to really extrapolate that down the natural path it takes us, when you're at the end, you've got a faith that you've constructed yourself rather than one that God has made in Scripture. If we just cherry pick the things that we like and make us comfortable and we let go of the things that challenge us, then we're left with something that is kind of like that fake money. It's silver, it has a head on it, but it's definitely not a quarter, and you're definitely not going to be able to use it in any way that's going to last. Another aspect of false teachers is telling people what they want to hear rather than what they might need to hear. You know, popularity is a great temptation for preachers and teachers and pastors, and sometimes the word of the Lord is hard, and it's challenging, and it requires something of us. And if we only preach the milquetoast and honey of Scripture, and we avoid those things that require change and cause us to become uncomfortable with where we are, then we might need to sit back and take a look at what's going on. Probably the biggest way that I think people get fooled is by not knowing the Word of God to the degree that they are able to discern truth from error. You know, if we are reading God's Word, if we are studying it, if it's becoming ingrained in us, then when we hear something that runs contrary to it, or is twisting the Word of God, we're going to pick up on that right away. But if we're not reading and we don't know what's in there, and someone comes along and says something that sounds holy and has the word God or Jesus in it, we might think that it's okay. But it might not be. And the only way to really check is to test it by the Scriptures. In Acts 17 it says, "And the people were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. And they searched the Scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth." So these are people, even back then, who had Paul and Silas there teaching them and preaching, and yet they still searched the Scriptures to make sure that what they were hearing was the truth. So I think it's good for us to try to protect ourselves as believers from falling prey to some of these things. And it's good for us to recognize that there are false teachers, there are false pastors out there, false preachers and false doctrines, and it's good to have a healthy skepticism of things, you know? If all of a sudden, if you've studied the Scriptures for many years and whatnot, and all of a sudden comes up with something new, and they say, "Well, check this out, look at this new interpretation," And you lean forward and say, "Wow, I've never heard that before." Check it out. Verify it. Check it against the creed that we say together every Sunday. Check it against Holy Scripture. 1 John chapter 4 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Another way to guard against falling prey to false doctrines and false teachers is to become serious students of the Word of God, to strive to learn the whole counsel of God's Word. Again, if you're reading it, if you know what's in there, when you hear something that doesn't sound quite right, and you go back and you check it, you'll discover whether or not it's true. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is the revealer of all truth. He will lead us into all truth. And if we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, He will do that. He will open our eyes to the truth that's in the Scripture. Someone else said this. I thought this was great. They said, "Become a fruit inspector." Okay? So inspect the teacher, inspect the teaching, inspect the character, inspect their lifestyle, inspect their effects on others. Are they bearing the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Scripture? Is their life in line with what we read about in Scripture? Matthew 7, 15-20 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." So, fruit inspector, examine their lives. Sometimes it's challenging to know which way to go. I went flying one time with a pilot out in New York State, and he wanted to do instrument approaches. So he said, "Come on, the weather's really bad, let's go." He was going for his IFR rating. And so we're in this little Piper Cub type thing, I don't know, really small. And he had just gotten the instrument equipment installed in there. He'd gone through most of his training and needed to do some approaches. So we were up in the clouds, and he says to me, "You know what direction we're going?" And I said, "Nope." And then he did something with the controls, and all of a sudden, because of gravity, I could tell that we were banked way over to one side. But other than that, I wouldn't have known. And he said, "You've always got to trust your instruments, not what you see, but trust your instruments." And so the Lord has given us the instrument. He's given us Holy Scripture, and He's implanted the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And so as we walk out our faith, as we walk out our life, trust your instruments. In the name of Christ, amen.